We'll read out of Passover booklet, page 123, or Shamati articles, article 86, and they build stores cities. We'll start from We Should Interpret. Again, Passover booklet, article 86, and they built store cities. We'll start with Now we can interpret what Abraham. Now we can interpret what Abraham, the patriarch, asked, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? How would it be possible for them to accept the burden of faith, since it is against reason? And who can go against reason? Thus, how will they come to be granted the light of faith, since perfection depends on that alone? The Creator answered him, Know of certainty, etc., that they will be in exile. This means that he had prepared a klipa, a shell, which is the evil inclination, an evil person, Pharaoh, king of Egypt. The letters of the word Pharaoh are like the letters of the word Orif, the back of the neck. The Ari wrote in Shar HaKavanot for Passover that Pharaoh is considered the Orif of Egypt. He would suck out the abundance that comes to the lower ones with his question, Who is the Lord that I should hear unto his voice? By this very question, they are at the hands of the klipot, as the Rambam says, regarding not turning to idol gods, that with this approach alone, meaning with the very question, the prohibition on turning to them is already broken. This means if one disconnects from the feeling that only one force is operating in reality, in the surrounding and also inside himself, everywhere, and there is none else besides him, right? This is called, Who is the Lord that I shall hear his voice? Meaning there is some other thing that you should listen to. So, if it is so, he is already under the klipot's domain. The evil inclination wishes to suck abundance from the Kedusha, sanctity. Thus, what does it do to suck abundance from the Kedusha? The writing tells us, And Pharaoh drew nigh. The Zohar interprets that he brought them nigh to repentance. This means the fact that each time desires, thoughts, confusion go upon a person and they disconnect him from there's none else besides him, this is on purpose because in order for him to strengthen the connection upon them, above them, if with there's none else besides him. It asks, how can we say that Pharaoh brought them close to repentance? If the conduct of the klipot is to turn one away from the Creator, we must understand this by what is written in the Zohar, transgression is concealed within you, like the serpent that strikes and hides its head inside its body. Also, in the Sulam, like, etc., since that transgression is concealed, the force of the serpent that strikes the people of the world and brings death to the world is still in full power and cannot be revoked. It is like a serpent that bites a human and immediately brings its head to its body, and then it is impossible to kill it. There is yet another saying in the Zohar that the serpent bowed its head and strikes with its tail. This means that sometimes it lets one take upon himself the burden of faith above reason, which is the bowing of the head, but it strikes with its tail. The tail can be interpreted as the end, that it bowed its head so as to ultimately receive in order to receive. In other words, it first gave one permission to accept faith so that afterwards it would take everything into its own authority. For the klipa knows that there is no way to receive abundance except through kedusha. This is the meaning of Pharaoh bringing them near. It is explained that he deliberately brought Israel to repentance, so as to afterward take everything from them into his own authority. This means if one does not run away and is willing to go through all the confusions, all the rejections, aversions that Pharaoh, meaning his ego, gives him, his nature. Ultimately, through all these loops, he brings him to the Creator in such a way that one understands that besides the higher force, nothing will help him. Meaning the serpent seemingly grabs him, rotates him, turns him around, and in these turns and loops, one thinks, maybe I will win with my learning, or with the connection, or dissemination. Maybe I can win with all kinds of diets, spiritual, corporeal, doesn't matter which way he's willing to do everything except for the Creator. And this serpent spins him until he gets to the decision that only the Creator can do this. Therefore, he who stays grabs on himself on this, even though he receives disappointments and confusions, the serpent ultimately brings him to, gets him closer to the Creator. And on this path, he scrutinizes all these things, that there's none else beside him.
This is the meaning of Pharaoh bringing them near. It is explained that he deliberately brought Israel to repentance, so as to afterwards take everything from them into his own authority. This is why the Ari wrote that Pharaoh sucked all the abundance that came down to the lower ones. He sucked from the Oref, the back of the neck, and from the throat, which is considered the head of the body, meaning it would take everything in its vessels of reception. This is the meaning of, and they built Arei Miskenot, store cities, meaning that this was for Israel. In other words, all their work during the exile was taken into Pharaoh's custody, and Israel remained poor. We should also interpret Miskenot from the word Sakana, danger, meaning that they were in great danger of remaining in that state for the rest of their lives. However, to Pharaoh, the work of Israel was Pithom and Ramses, meaning very beautiful cities. Thus, the meaning of "and they built Arei Miskenot" to Israel and Pithom and Ramses to Pharaoh. This is because all the work of Israel fell into the klipot, the shells, and they saw no blessing in their work. When they prevailed in their work in faith and bestowal, they did see fertility. And the moment they fell into knowing and receiving, they immediately fell into the hands of the klipa of Pharaoh. Finally, they came to a determined resolution that the work must be in faith above reason and bestowal.
Meaning, no matter what happens, I try to constantly be drawn to the connection, to there is none else besides him through the center of the group, in the teaching, dissemination, meaning hold on to all these things with my teeth. And if I hold on in the ups and in the downs in that same force, this means that I am in under subjugation, slavery.
However, they saw that they were unable to come out of Pharaoh's power by themselves. This is why it's written, "And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, since they were afraid that they might stay in exile for all time. Then their cry came up unto God, and they were awarded exodus from the exile in Egypt."
Meaning specifically from this final despair of staying in exile. And exile means he truly yearns to be in the quality of bestowal, but he's unable. Then this means he suffers from the exile. Not the fact that he doesn't have something. Rather, besides the quality of bestowal, he has everything. Pharaoh gives everything besides that. And this is the exile in Egypt. From the abundance side and also from the lack. You have everything you want, and it confuses you from one end to the other. Except for one thing you don't have, the ability to bestow. Therefore, it is considered to be exile.
It turns out that before they saw the situation, they are in the hands of the klipot and were hurting and afraid that they would remain there forever. They had no need for the Creator's help from vessels of reception. If the shortcoming and detriment caused by them is unfelt, which is all that obstructs them from cleaving to the Creator, this is because otherwise one has a higher regard to work in the form of knowledge and reception, and faith is considered lowness. They choose knowledge and reception since this is what man's exterior mind necessitates. Hence, they were given the exile to feel that they do not progress towards nearness to the Creator, and all their work sinks in the klipa of Egypt. Finally, they saw that they have no other choice but to resolve to a work of lowness, which is faith above reason, and yearn for bestowal. Otherwise, they feel that they are in the dominion of the evil inclination.
When they're willing to receive the last 10 plagues, last 10 blows, only to have the power to run away.
Otherwise, they feel that they are in the dominion of the evil inclination. It turns out that the faith that they have taken upon themselves was because they saw that otherwise they would have no counsel, and hence agreed to a work of ignominy, lowness. This is considered conditional work.
This also happens in different laws in the level of still vegetative and animate, that there is a potential leap in order to change states. to go from one state to another. And you need to gather a lot of forces, and then you can leap. This leap happens. By this, we resemble those particles of the atom or different states that occur in the biological body. When we also have leaps from the state of in order to receive to in order to bestow. These are 2 degrees that we should gather up a lot of hatred to our present state and some valuation, appreciation for the next degree. There's a potential difference that should accumulate inside ourselves that you can't stand this state. You're willing to jump into the sea, into the ocean because of this pressure. Then it happens.
It turns out that the faith they have taken upon themselves was because they saw that otherwise they have no counsel and hence agreed to a work of lowness. This is considered conditional work. When they have accepted this work, so they do not fall into the net of the klipot. This is why they had taken this work upon themselves. However, if the reason is revoked, the love for this work is revoked too. In other words, if the evil inclination is cancelled, and there is no one that brings them thoughts of not turning to idol gods, then the love for the work in lowness is revoked. Now we can understand what our sages wrote. In the beginning, the evil inclination seems like a spider web. And in the end, it seems like cart ropes. We know that there is a discernment of coercive, mistaken, and deliberate. The will to receive that is imprinted in man is considered coercive, since one cannot revoke it.
That's how we were born.
Mm-hmm. And it is therefore not considered a sin.
This is what we have from nature. Nothing is considered. The fact we say the whole world is in the egoistic nature, this is not considered at all something evil, spiritually wise. Spiritually speaking, it's only with respect to the Creator. Only accordingly you measure a person. If he's directed to the Creator, if he's not directed, it's a level of animate.
And it is therefore not considered a sin, but a misdeed. As it is written, "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with the cords of vanity." It cannot be rejected or hated, since he does not feel that it will be a sin. However, afterwards, it turns out like sin, as it were, with cart ropes, and the klipot were then made of this will to receive, which have a complete structure, as it is written, God hath made even one as well as the other. This is where the evil inclination comes from, meaning everything out of this thread. Since it already showed itself to be a sin, then everyone knows to guard themselves from this thread, and they understand that there is no other counsel if they want to enter Kedusha, except to resolve to work in lowness, meaning faith and bestowal. Otherwise, they see that they are under the authority of the Klipa of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. It follows that the benefit in the exile was the feeling that the will to receive is a sin. And this is the reason to decide that there is no other counsel but to try and acquire vessels of bestowal. This is also the meaning of the Creator's answer to Abraham the patriarch about his request for guarantees for the inheritance of the land. quote, "Know of a surety that thy seed, etc., and they shall afflict them, etc." Through the exile, they would come to discover that the thread is a sin, and then they would accept the real work of detaching themselves from the sin.
Questions? Slowly, think about it before you ask. Gershon, are you listening? Yes. Yes. If you have a microphone, be attentive, alert.
Question about that serpent that spins us around until we finally reach the conclusion that only the Creator can do it.
Well,
how can I hasten this understanding? Because I can hear you saying only the Creator can do it 1,000 times, but as you say, it crosses your ear and doesn't really enter it.
It won't enter. You can't get it from the outside. You can't get this from the outside. When Rabash passed away, I immediately decided that I will let everyone copy Shamati. This is the basis of man's work. It's the essence of God's work that is revealed. In order for anyone who has an inclination towards that can realize this. And Rabash gave within his articles, two or three, I don't remember which ones, but he gave them in his last 2 or 3 years. He opened them up to other people, but only as an article. He didn't talk about it at all. Therefore, I thought about giving it to everyone. And what came out of that? It should have been explosive. Such a revelation. Nothing. Also, when I published the book how is it called? I don't remember. The fourth book. After the heart, some of the students told me, "This now will be..." I opened the curtain in during the lesson. I told them, "What's going on?" As if something is going out. Something is going out on outside. Nothing. The fact that it is written, or even if you hear it, it does not yet affect the heart. Externally, nothing affects you except for the light. This is what works and brings a person to spiritual states one by one. In corporeal things, that is correct. You hear it from others, you're included in them, you're under their influence, that's okay, you change. But in spirituality, it's only according to the light. You can't expect anything else. Therefore, the fact you hear this, you hear it. The fact that ear can hear, that's okay, but the heart doesn't hear.
Why the snake? If the light does the action, why does the snake have to spin me around all the time to chase other directions?
Wait a minute. The snake, the serpent is your nature. Light operates on your nature in order for you, when you are between the serpent and the light, in the middle, in between, as the point of scrutiny, you will start scrutinizing what is between these two. From this you construct the middle third of Tiferet, and you construct yourself from that, when you use part of the serpent and part of the light. From this you construct yourself. How can you do it without the serpent? I can understand this. I created the evil inclination. Without this, there's nothing. There's no creation, nothing. What do you have the serpent for? You can say in such a way, why did the Creator create the will to receive in the way of the serpent, that so that he spins me all the time? By that, I learn who the Creator is from the opposite form. I can't grasp him because I'm not in equivalence with him. There's no equivalence of form, no match. That's why I can't feel him. But when I am as opposite from him, in a nature that is opposite from him, and he spins me all the time, so from all my obstacles, all my disappointments, my despairs, from this I finally learn, even though this is a hard way, a long way, but I learn, I go through it. No one can leap. There's no leaps here. You think that the world will go in an easy way? What easy way? And they shall all know me, from the smallest to the largest. To know the Creator, you must go through all these stages, one by one. This is why this serpent helps. This is an angel, a general one. Later on, you discover it as sacred. He is the slave. He is the one loyal to the Creator.
It's
as if he's receiving the blows, and nevertheless he implements his role. This is a system very... It's exactly as a copy, as a replica from the light. This is a very complex system because there are no changes in the light. It's just, the light is just love and bestowal. And in order to scrutinize this so you can understand the whole, the complete, the absolute, that you can't understand anything about it. How can you grasp the white? It's white. There's nothing about it. But when you shine it through, when you pass it through a prism, then you have the whole spectrum of lights. And then again you see that there's another part over there in the infra waves and the ultra waves also. The infra is there's a part there we know nothing about. And without these discernments, how would you learn what this is? No, the serpent is a great thing. The Pharaoh, Haman, all these wicked, without them, we can understand nothing. How can you learn something without having mistakes, without making mistakes? It's impossible. Specifically, if you learn, and you learn those mistakes, why I failed, what's into that, how did I make them, what do they indicate, what's the correct solution, with what the correct solution is different than the wrong one, the incorrect one, I was wrong. And from that, you develop the vessels and you learn about the Creator. So you have discernment, so you can distinguish Him. Otherwise, it's just white. All right?
No, Gershon.
Well, Gershon, all right.
What does it mean that the Creator sees the state he's in, that he's under the authority of the klipot? What does he see? What does he feel? He sees that he is under the dominion of the klipot, which means that he has no chance to think for the sake of the Creator.
I'm asking because I think this is the discernment we can see a few times a day. But where does pain start from? It doesn't hurt me, what you just said, that everything I do for the Creator.
Well, it doesn't hurt, it doesn't, but at least at least to feel that, that I cannot think for the benefit of the friends, of the group, of the Creator, in a clean manner. Sure, I can think, but to the extent that I discover that it belongs to me. Just like I bought some stock from some company, and now I worry about the company's success. Of course, you understand that, right? That's it. I remember I had this friend. He bought stocks of the Dead Sea, well, factories in the Dead Sea. And he was always thinking, I remember I caught him doing that. He was thinking from dawn to dusk, today it's doing okay, tomorrow not so much. You know, he became adhered to the Dead Sea's factories and what happens there with all the substances, the nitrium and calcium and all that. A concern. He had a concern for these factories because he made profit from it. So it's the same with us. If you, in the end, discover that you can only think of the Creator that way. When you feel good, you don't need Him. When it's bad, He may help. Then you start being a bit more attentive, watchful. And you can't get rid of that. You cannot be devoid of any self-interest. And that means to be despaired by your nature. Not despaired because you're in that nature, but because you cannot make a request from Him to rid yourself from it, meaning to give you such hatred to this state, to the point that you'll be able to request Him so much that He'll send you the light that reforms, and that you will merit the quality of bestowal that is independent of anything else. From that, you are despaired. You have no, you know, there's no sting, no punch of that sort. Okay, what are we doing? I see everyone's falling asleep. You feel it's a holiday. You probably slept well before as well. Yes.
A person who comes to a lesson or some action, either he's corrected or he's lying to himself because he thinks he's doing something good, otherwise he wouldn't come. How can I come and not be in this lie?
So he's in falsehood, so what?
But we want to progress, to feel despair, and from that to...
There is no obligation or commandment to feel despaired. There's a commandment to feel adhered to the Creator. That's the goal of creation, to achieve adhesion. You're talking about something dreamy. It's not, we mustn't, we're forbidden to long for some bad states. I have to feel happy, fulfilled with energy and power, with burning eyes, seeing the goal clearly and walking towards it. Why not? What? I don't understand. What? You're longing for despair, for suffering blows. What? You have a desire to suffer?
No, I have a desire to finish the work.
So why finishing the job and the work is called suffering? By the suffering, by depression, by consuming myself, I'll never advance. It's incorrect. By that, I'm just remote from the Creator, in disparity of form from the upper light. It doesn't influence me when I'm depressed. I must, you know, play some records, start dancing. Seriously, Rabash used to do that. He would lock himself in the living room at home and dance and just dance, start dancing. He didn't really have any record there, but he would just, you know, mumble and jump. And that was a great Kabbalist, aged over 80. And that's what he used to do. That's what he did. If you looked at him, you would think this is a madman, because he had no moment of joy or pleasure or something. It's just tension. Kabbalists go through states not like what you're going through, but he would do such a hard work. But how would he start? Simply by starting to move his legs around. Seriously.
As a checkup, not a
No. No check should lead you to entering despair. You don't need to enter anything bad.
So why does he write it in the text? Gershon Gestat about the klipot.
Written what? The klipot are felt when you constantly try to transcend them. Otherwise, it's not a klipa. Otherwise, it's a kedusha for you, holiness.
Yes, and I'm reading, and I see I'm not in this state.
What state?
A state of being under the domain of the klipot, as he writes. I'm seeing I'm not there, so what conclusion should I reach?
That you need to do good actions, and then you'll feel that you're in the klipa. You have to receive the light that will shine on you, and then you'll see your true state. Yes.
Shomim. You mentioned a combination that we see. You said that the serpent becomes sacred.
The angel of death becomes the holy angel. That's what's written.
The state of hatred becomes sanctity.
Right.
We know from history, from the past, that the Christians, whoever they crucified, they burned down, they later on turned him to a sacred person.
I don't know what you mean. You're giving me an example that I don't understand in. Give me something I understand. This to me is not an example. Yes.
In the example you just gave about Rabash, what was he happy about?
He wasn't happy. He would force himself to be happy, because it's impossible that if you're in the world of the Creator that you are in despair or sad. Confused, yes. Meaning in your mind, but in your heart, not feeling joyfulness, that's called klipa. That you have to emerge from it as soon as possible.
So, what should the heart rejoice from?
Anything. Anything. If you're happy with anything because you're under the providence of the Creator, there is none else besides Him, and He is good that does good, then doesn't matter what, it's good.
What does it mean to be in contact with there is none else besides Him?
That in all your mind and heart, all you have is directly coming from Him.
Now, this process, until it happens in permanently, the light that reforms should cause the heart to go through this, right?
Right.
How can I help it?
Help by being closer in your action as much as possible to the action of the light. Where you do that? In connection with the group.
What does it mean to do an action within the group that is close to the light?
Connection. Connection. Don't hate your friend in your heart, meaning don't do to your friend what is hated, what you hate to be done to you. Love thy friend as thyself. From that, love the Creator, thy Lord. And what do you mean? What are you asking?
Connection being is connected to the center of the group?
with everyone together equally.
To enter into this feeling of the center of the group, how does it happen?
If I enter the center of the group, I nullify myself. I disappear. It's some place where there's no sense of gravity. How do you call that? You know, no gravity. Gravity is not working there. You understand these things. You understand mechanics. If I'm in the center of the equal force fields, 360 degrees around me, different forces are at work, and I'm at exactly the center. Do I feel any of the forces? No. Either I'm floating, let's say, or I'm just neutralizing their influence by that. I'm in the neutral point. That's what I feel. And 360 degrees, they revoke my ego. I dissolve. That's the center of the group. In such a form, it's like in a black hole. And there I feel the Creator.
In the morning lesson, you said that in our group there is the center of a group, but you can't feel it.
Right.
So, especially during this time of Passover, when there is a lot of help from above, what should we do in order to rise up to this feeling of the center of the group?
The Creator who builds the group and all the conditions for the dissemination, He orchestrates things in a way that it's already standing by. Everything is ready for the meal, as it's written. But we need to add our appetite to it. The desire, the urgency, the longing. What do we lack? We lack trying to always be at the center of a group, full steam. Only long for that. But reaching the center of the group is impossible unless you equip yourself with enough lack from dissemination. Otherwise, with what will you come? With urgency. By your nature, you are under the definition of Israel, meaning that you have to connect to the Creator with Galgalta and Naim, and to the nations of the world through your Achap, to everything outside of you. And you must put into action all these parts. The world, yourself, with the group, and the Creator within the group. All of that, you have to put it into one system. Yes.
To enter the center of the group, this is the personal work of every individual, or do we all do it together?
It's an individual work that everyone does with support from everyone else. There's such a Kabbalist called Rabash. He wrote articles about it. Read them.
So, when we go out to disseminate, and we include ourselves in the deficiencies, and we return to the group, the moment we return to the group, what is the action that should occur in order for us to get closer to the center of the group?
When you return to the group with the lacks that you were with there in dissemination, you begin to feel committed to all those people that you disseminated to, and these lacks pressure you and give you an additional strength to promote yourself to the center of the group. I would say that it's not just some additional force, it's the force by which you enter the center of the group, because you have no urge of your own to be connected with everyone. You don't have a natural urge like that. It doesn't happen like that. Besides the fact that we are Galgalta and Naim. So, what will bring us the force to put us in such a connection? Only by those lacks that we absorb from them.
Yes.
Let someone else ask. Yeah, there's Tomer there.
What should a person do if he feels tiredness, confusion, exhaustness? You talked about Rabash, that you should always be in happiness. And
yeah, what can I say? First, in each and every state, tie yourself to the source of it, which is the Creator. Be with Him in contact. That is, on one hand, this is what I'm getting from you in a direct manner, or through someone or something, doesn't matter. But this is what I'm getting from you, that's one. Two, what I feel is, I feel bad, I feel difficulties, heaviness, helplessness, confusions, all kinds of things. This is the second thing. Third thing, how do I respond to what you're now structuring in me, creating in me? Accept it in love, with love, because He's good that does good. It's impossible that He does anything bad to you. It's all for your own benefit. It's like the doctor giving you some bitter pill, but you become healthier and you start growing towards the goal. So there has to be some work in your mind that will bring a change of heart. That's the conclusion of this entire package. Until your heart rejoices, until your heart is happy as if you won a great fortune. And then, it could be the group, you could be dancing in the middle of the living room, you could be doing something else, I don't know, but you have to come out of it. Even drink a little bit. Seriously. I'm telling you seriously. Anything but agreeing with feeling bad from the Creator, because that's your own falsehood. And what's the source of action to do, the source of power to make this action? A person heard you, he wants to act that way, but he feels that he's powerless in doing that. I was just in the kitchen. I looked at people there. I don't think that those who are doing these tasks feel any despair. The atmosphere itself strengthens the person, purifies him, washes him. With Rabash, there was always an opportunity to wash some dishes. You know, yeah, the kitchen was, you know, one square feet. So, I used to do that. That would help me a lot. Yeah, it was very helpful. Something that you can do with a group. Okay, what are we doing next? Yes. Yael, please. Wait. Today we also have...
When
we go out to disseminate, how can we tie this request to receive the quality of bestowal with the need to pass on to them the wisdom of connection and to be in connection between ourselves? How do we put together this system on top of obstacles and even coming to the experience of none else besides Him, but we want to move to this commitment to do the action and receive the quality of bestowal. I drew this structure of the lower, the upper, and the upper one more than once. We're in a system. We are forces. There are no physical bodies here. It just seems to us that way through our five senses. There are forces. The more we join other forces which are also linked to us, but when we grab hold of them and put them into work, our force increases. When I go out to disseminate and I go with the power of the group, this from the center of the group, moving forward to tie them together to the same mission and bring them along with us according to the Creator's instruction to connection with Him, then I short-circuit the entire chain from the top to the lowest person. There has to be a recognition of the greatness of the task itself, the mission. There's nothing greater than that. We, as Israel, who exited Babylon and corrected ourselves, took on a certain form, we're now making the continued action of Abraham. We're addressing, in the meantime, we're addressing Israel, meaning all the people of Abraham, that group, but then the whole world as well. We are literally beginning the final correction, an action that encompasses the entire creation. It's as though we open the door for a new world, specifically us. If I understand that and feel that in any action that I talk to some old lady or someone who doesn't understand anything, it doesn't matter. The upper light must appear just like it's written. How is it written that that he dwells in rocks and rocks and trees? That his divinity dwells in rocks and trees. This is how it works. We also know that from the opposite value between lights and vessels. If I address the person who is the farthest from the whole of humanity, and I speak to him and somehow tie him to us, even just for the duration of that conversation, by that I short-circuit the two ends of En Sof, infinity, and the bottom of creation. And according to my work with him now, I awaken the Naran Chai above, because it's an opposite value between lights and vessels. Perhaps I misunderstood your question.
There are stages in what was described in the article, that it's felt that the group goes through them, feels it in their flesh. For instance, the state of slavery or exile, you can feel it in your experience when it happens in the group or on the individual. And there is this state of raising this degree towards the quality of bestowal. So if we as educators or disseminators, we should feel it inside ourselves. It's not something that the heart can hear. It should feel it. So how can we hear, feel it in order to convey it outwards? We can't ask for feel this. You know.
Maybe the men can try translating it. I don't understand.
Ah. Aviu.
Ah, aviu. They say you understand. No. That's what Niv thinks. I really didn't understand the question. It still doesn't ring, maybe in a different style.
This connection that we want everyone to feel, if we don't hold on to it yet ourselves, how can we convey it to others? Maybe. To ask this.
Without the lack we absorb from them, we won't be able to connect between ourselves. It's the other way around. There are two opposites of the same problem here. We aren't capable of connecting because we don't have a sufficient lack, which we will absorb from them and then be able to connect and save them and save ourselves. And that will provide us with it. I'm sorry, I can't... Okay, what else do we have? Yes, give him the microphone, last one, and then we'll continue forward.
It's written here that we should address the Creator, and you constantly tell us, turn to the Creator. If I address the Creator for help, it's a sign that I don't agree with his path. If I turn for help, it's incomplete.
Wait a minute. Why, if you address the Creator, you disagree with his path? Because you want to correct how he influences you? What?
No, I'm asking for help, and that means I don't agree with myself, with what goes on with myself.
Very good. Good. Tell me, what do you disagree with?
The good that does good.
100%. Good that does good in what?
I don't feel it. I don't feel. I understand this, but I can't feel it.
And then?
Then I address the Creator so I can have this feeling as knowing Him as good and the good that does good.
To know Him as good that does good, but what does it mean that he's good that does good? What is it?
Good that does good, it means that he wishes to give a complete bestowal to the creatures.
So, let him bestow, fill up my pockets, my belly, my health, my body, yeah?
No, not from this aspect.
Then?
To give me the force to feel the friends. I can't feel the friends. I can't satiate them. I can't fill up their desires. I don't feel them.
First of all, you don't need to have to feel the friends. You don't have that lack. That is a lack in itself. It's a lack for a lack. Still.
Yes, but I still don't agree with him.
Of course you disagree. This is called, my sons have defeated me. You don't need to agree with the Creator with regards to what He did. Until you come to a point where you do agree with Him. In your nature, you agree with what He does or not?
According to my nature, no.
No. So work on coming to an agreement.
How?
Address him and ask.
It goes back to the same point.
No, it doesn't. He wants you to request from him to agree with everything that you're receiving from him. And then he'll change your attributes in a way that you'll already feel in heaven, which before seemed as hell. Think. We're not changing anything besides our perception, and that's why it's called the wisdom of Kabbalah, reception.
So I can ask the Creator, plea for Him to give me this feeling of love of friends, love of others, in order to fill them up?
Make it.